Actually, we're going to talk about what I was told to talk about, which is the Holy Spirit. And how many are glad we have the Holy Spirit? You know, we live in a day where the Trinity has kind of changed. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures in many people's cases. How many know the Holy Spirit is God? And so we're going to take some time to do that. I just want to open with just a possible scenario to a well-known story in the Bible. Where's my wife? She's in here, so I want to show her somewhere. There she is, way in the back, waving back there. Everybody says she's better than me, so now you met the better half. Jesus asked this question, who do people say that I am? You remember that? And all his disciples answered, said, some say you're John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Others said Elijah and one of the prophets. And Jesus answered and said, but who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter answered and said, thou art the Logos existing in the Father as his rationality. And then by an act of his will being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, but only on the fact that scripture speaks of a Father and a Son and of a Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, each acting inseparably with and interpenetrating every other member with only an economic subordination within God, but causing no division, which would make the substance no longer simple. And Jesus said, what? How many know sometimes Christians can make complicated things that are pretty simple truths in scriptures? And throughout history, when we don't understand things or we don't have an experience to explain it, we can change our theology to more fit what we believe to be true through experiences. And if you want to know where that happened, the Pharisees did that. They changed the theology of scriptures so that even when the scripture was standing in front of them, they didn't even know who he was. We do that with the Holy Spirit. We make that same mistake. So when you hear the word Pentecostal, most people shrug their shoulders and don't give it a second thought or think that maybe they're radical or fanatical or maybe even think they're a little crazy. And I would say, I know a lot of crazy Pentecostals. And one thing that was true is they were crazy before they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? I grew up in a time when my dad was an evangelist and pastor, and actually he's just getting ready to retire, and the Assemblies God was kind of known as that fellowship on the other side of the tracks. How many remember that terminology? And what's happened is, even though the educational prowess may be not as pristine in the evangelical circles of the past, there was something very real, and we're seeing it all over the world. Right now, statistically, if you look at the church across the world, and I've been blessed with opportunities to visit places around the world, the only movement really in churches going on around the world that's growing at an alarm is Pentecostal circles, the Pentecostal church. But in an attempt to clean up our reputation, many Pentecostal environments have thrown out the dynamic of Pentecost with all of the crazy behavior. Because what's interesting is there's a fine line between crazy and some of the faith-filled responses that God asks us to do. I don't know why I'm having a problem talking. And in many ways, we have neutered form of Pentecost that fails to walk in the power and holiness that God intended when he gave us the Holy Spirit. Like, how many know that if you were to ask, is that person saved? So how do I know that Cole is saved? And you know Cole, and you say, well, Cole doesn't drink, smoke, chew, or date girls who do. So How many know that a lot of times we determine who's saved by what they don't do in the flesh? How many know what I'm talking about? Like, you have your sins of the flesh, and you have the sins of the soul. And what's funny is your flesh isn't eternal, your soul is, but the sins of the soul we don't think are as big of a deal as the sins of the flesh. Does that make sense? So we think people are going to hell because they took drugs, but so what that they lied, cheated, and stealed? Sins of the soul, sins of the flesh. We get all caught up on that. We look at people and we determine whether they're saved or not by what they don't do, when the Bible says you will know they're saved by what they do do. Yeah. Right? They shall what? Heal the sick. Yeah. How many are praying for the sick? Yeah. You'll cast out demons. How many are casting out some demons? Well, that's crazy. You'll raise the dead. Do you know, I've never met anyone who's raised the dead without praying for the dead to be raised. That means you actually have to go to a dead person and call them to come to life. But isn't that crazy? And yet it's in the Bible. It's the thing, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe. They heal the sick, they cast out demons, they raise the dead, and no deadly thing will harm them. COVID shows up, and there's a whole lot of people afraid of harm. So what does determine that we're saved? Well, by what we're not doing? And it's really not our fault, because it's never our fault, right? It's what we were told. It's what we were told. It was what we were discipled to believe. And the problem is discipleship. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we disciple people not to walk in the Spirit. And this is always amazing to me, because how many have said, you know, that's a seeker-friendly church? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have a general idea what I'm talking about when we're seeker-friendly? This is my argument about that. If you're not a seeker-friendly church, what are you? Right? If someone is genuinely seeking Christ and the Holy Spirit, we should be able to lead them to Him. Right? We should. You want to know Jesus? No, we're not friendly to you people. Isn't it crazy, some of the foolish things we say in the church that make no sense to people? And I think the Holy Spirit, in many ways, we've made Him scary. Ooh, you know, I've always thought He would have been better if God had said, Chuck, just name Him Chuck. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Chuck. You know, if it's a high church, you could call Him Charles. If it's a low class, you'd call Him Chucky, you know, right? Pentecost literally means 50. Do you know Pentecost was there before the Holy Spirit ever came? And the way that He came on the day of Pentecost? Do you know that at Passover, there are three feasts. At Passover, it's the feast that we celebrate salvation, really. In the New Testament church, we celebrate salvation at Passover. Then there's the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the fall. That's the feast in which the New Testament church celebrates the coming of the Lord. How many believe He's coming back? How many believe that He died and was raised from the dead and gave us salvation? Then why is it so hard to believe that He baptizes us in the Spirit? Because that's what the baptism, that's what Pentecost was celebrating, was the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell upon us. So we're going to get into this a little bit. John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper." How many need another helper? "That He may abide with you forever." That He may abide with you forever. Why is it that we don't show the same respect to the Holy Spirit that we do Jesus? What if your pastor never talked about Jesus? What if He never brought up the name of Jesus ever in your church? Would you go to that church? What if you said, well, you know, Jesus, he's kind of an offensive figure. I don't know. We just don't want to bring it up. Would you keep going there? Right? Why do we treat the Holy Spirit that way when Jesus himself said, it is better that I go away so that the Holy Spirit could come and abide with you? Because we need the Holy Spirit every day. You know, it's amazing. And this is where I think we could really shift in our mind. And it's a challenge for me as well as those, I think, at Bethel's Rock, is how many, you have a picture of Jesus, right? If Jesus came in here and he had his white gown and his blue sash, I mean, and then he dips his head, you know, and just went down. And then he reaches out his hand. It's the picture of Jesus in my grandma's bathroom. How many had a picture of Jesus? Why it was in the bathroom? Maybe you need more help in there. Maybe, I don't. But it was in the bathroom when you're sitting there. And then how many had a baby, like a Jesus in your, okay. And if Jesus came in here and he reached out his arms, how many in here wouldn't leave this place until you experienced Jesus in some way? How many would find something that you would need Jesus to do in your life? Right? And that Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be better than if I were there. And how often do we come into a church building, or we come into a place, a small group, or a prayer meeting with no expectation, and we're in a hurry to get out of there? When was the last time we said, I need to get to an altar? And I'm going to dwell in an altar and seek the Holy Spirit until I hear from him. And I'm not letting go, because I know just as Jesus in the flesh was real, the Holy Spirit in this place is real. I want to show you something to kind of illustrate this a little bit more. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a woo, right? He's a person. He has a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. He has a mind. Romans 8:27 says, and he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And the intercede thing is not a prayer meeting. It's pretty cool, actually. He has emotions. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And his name is not Holy Spirit. His name is God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. It's God operating in the form of the Spirit. And you say, well, it's important, because it's important for us to recognize that he is a person, because you cannot have a relationship with an it. Right? When Jesus prayed, he said, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, show us how to pray. And Jesus showed them how to pray. How did he show them how to pray? Did he go, dear Jesus? No. He went, our Father. Because you pray to the Father, you fellowshiped with Jesus. We pray to the Father, we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's a different interaction, and I'll show it to you in a moment, but I want to show you the person of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are a body? Are you your body? Are you your body? No. In fact, if you're an atheist, you think you are your body. How many are glad you are not your body? Somebody should say, praise the Lord, this is not my identity right now, right? How many have been to a funeral? I've never been, at least to a Pentecostal funeral or an Assembly of God funeral, where the body is in a box, right? And the pastor says, they're in the box in front of you. What do they almost always say? Aunt Millie, she ain't in the box. And Millie's with Jesus. How many believe that's true? Why? Because Aunt Millie is in her flesh. Aunt Millie was a mind, will, and emotion. She was a soul living in her flesh. But Aunt Millie, she ain't here. Right? How many are with me? Because your body is not who you are. Your body is merely a temple in which Aunt Millie lived. It's a temple you're abiding in, and your soul needs, in some cases, you need to take care of that temple. Right? We need to take care and steward the temple, because the temple isn't who we are. It's kind of like a church building. God comes and he will fill a building, but that's not God. Right? Now, you're like, where are you going with this, Pastor? Here it is. The Holy Spirit abides with your soul in your body. So just as Jesus abided in the flesh and blood that he was in on earth, the Holy Spirit is now filling the body that you also share with him. So when you come into a place, you literally bring Jesus with you. You bring the Holy Spirit with you. Wherever you go is holy ground. Wherever you are is holy ground, because you brought the Holy Spirit. And when you gave your life to Christ, Jesus comes and lives in you. And I'm going to just give this for the sake of just for information. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and lived in you. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on you. Two totally different things. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit rested on them. We'll get back to that later. So what does he do? There's been a lot of people who say, well, the Holy Spirit convicts you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. It does not say it convicts the believer. Maybe we don't. How many love? Like in the church, we have our own lingo. Like we should create a dictionary. We had this guy who goes to our Richfield campus, and it just he's an incredible. He's not here, is he, Brad? And I don't just the he's, so he was an executive at a very large corporation, a vice president, and he gets saved at Richfield, and I would say things, and he was like you think everybody knows what you're talking about, but nobody does. Like, I've never heard that story in my life. I'm like, you've never heard of David and Goliath? No, he heard of that one. But I would say stuff. So how many know we instead of saying, God doesn't condemn us, but God convicts us. When in your life have you ever been convicted and it was a good thing? Let me ask you this. If Christ purchased all of the sins of the world, what is he convicting you of? The problem starts all the way back at salvation and understanding grace. If you don't understand the power of grace to purchase all of your, and then people say, well, God doesn't forgive willful sin. I didn't know that was an unpardonable sin. How many know every one of us in here have committed a willful sin? If he doesn't forgive your willful sin, we're all going to hell. Why are we even here right now? If you understand that Christ purchased the sins of the world, then what is it he's trying to convict me of? Read Romans 6. It says, you left that sin sovereign nation when you were baptized in water. And when you came up, you entered a grace sovereign nation. And sin speaks a dead language there. Read it, Romans chapter 6. Even in the Message is the best way to read it. So if you understand the Holy Spirit's job isn't to come along and tell you how bad you are, you may want to talk to him more. You know what I found? I found this to be true. The Holy Spirit is called our best friend. Like, he's a comforter. He's our best friend. The Holy Spirit is companion. In fact, I'm going to show you in a moment in the scripture where it says he wants to fellowship with us. He wants to be there to talk to. When you're out on a walk, you just talk to the Holy Spirit. As though he's there because he's in you. Like God is living in you. I think it takes more faith to believe that than it does that Jesus died on the cross. I mean, think about it. If you're at work and you got problems at work, you got God with you. You're packing God. Why would you need a gun? I mean, think about it. I'm packing the favor of God right now. I'm packing the miracles of heaven. That is literally how the disciples walked around. Nothing feared them because they understood the truth of what lived in them. Greater is he than he that is in the world. Right? That's why there are no giants in the kingdom of God. I always laugh with a song that says, I have my own giants. Well, meet Jesus and you won't have any anymore. Because unless you realize you're the giant, you always live in deception. There is nothing ever been creator bigger than the one inside of me, and he's with me right now. So we go to a lot of places, and we're not fearing anything. Why? Because he's with me. It's a change, but Satan can smell fear. Now, I'm getting off the point. You have to understand first, when a lot of time for people, when they hear the Holy Spirit talking to them, they think the Holy Spirit is always doing one of two things, either telling them what to do or pointing out where they failed. And that's the gist of most Christians' spiritual life and communication with God. Now, imagine if your wife, the only time you talk to them, you said, this is why I think you messed up. Like, how many have it when your wife says, we need to talk? I've already discovered she ain't ever forgetting until we talk, right? But how many know when you hear that, you just like, no. What did I do? The other one is, if all she wanted to do is have that discussion or to be bossy and tell you what to do, how many of you would never want to talk to him either? Now, can I point out something? What if what you thought you were talking to, who you thought you were talking to, was never God in the first place? It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. What if I told you the person who's coming to attack you is actually Satan and not the Holy Spirit? Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved? Why would he attack you for something he already purchased and took ownership of? It is not the believer that the Holy Spirit convicts. It's the unbeliever. And the unbeliever will not come to Jesus because you have a fine argument and a lot of knowledge. He will only come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit is dealing with his heart. That is why prayer in the Spirit for people is extremely essential to anyone coming to Christ. Because it doesn't matter what the sermon is if their heart hasn't been brought before the Lord. Does that make sense? So we need the Holy Spirit, and our relationship with the Holy Spirit's important. The Holy Spirit encourages and builds up the believer. He doesn't tear them down. He's called the Comforter. He gives direction for our lives. And believe me, I realize some of you are in this room are thinking, I'm telling Mark Dean he just said all this because this I don't know if this. They're like, he just said yours. Listen, do you know the Bible says the law is the source of sin in your life, not grace? Anyway, if he reveals truth, he's an ever-present companion. He's God with us. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 13 through 14, it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is real? Don't you love it? How many love it? Like, how many know, man, I'd be a mess if it wasn't for the unmerited grace of God, right? I'd be a mess. And that was after I became a pastor. And then it says, and the love of God. How many believe the love of God is endless? But then it says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I was in Cuba, and that's how you say it. It's not Cuba, it's Cuba. I was corrected by the Cubans in our church. I was down there a number of years ago, and I didn't drink a lot of water, and it was hot, and I'm walking out on the beach, and it's some of the most beautiful beaches are on Cuba, and we went down there for a rest day on the mission trip, and I had drank, and I had gotten way, nobody's down this beach, and I'm way down there, and I didn't bring any water, and then, you know, when you're starting to feel like, oh, this isn't good, like, I'm starting to get sick, and I knew I was getting dehydrated, went back, sure enough, I was dehydrated pretty bad, and we got in a van. We went to this little clinic. Funny story, can't tell you because it's just can't tell you it. And we ended up going to a hospital, and the hospital was this dumpy little hospital in Santa Maria. It was just not good. Lines and everything, but they walked me right through. They love Americans. Crazy. Cuba loves Americans. And walked in, and they opened this door, and when they opened it, it was like, woo! It was all white, like heaven. I'm like, did I die? Because I was just leaving this place, and I walked in, bright lights, it's just clean, very nice. The doctors were different, just very nice. And we put them in there, and then they said, yeah, you should never have done that. And they're, you know, and tell me how bad I was and all that. They were the devil. Yeah, and just and then I'm laying there, and there was a guy. His name was Eduardo. He says, I'll stay here tonight. I'm like, you don't have to. And he says, no, I'll stay here. And so I'm in the room, I'm laying in the bed, and I'm sleeping, and then I wake up in the middle of the night, because I wake up and I look over, and here's Ed Wardle, literally watching me. That is weird. How many know what I'm doing? Like, that's weird. Like, it would be weird if my wife was looking at me. I mean, it was just weird. But yet, inside of me, there's this thing was, the Lord had, like, put him there to watch over me a lot. Like, he's always watching over you. Because the Holy Spirit that lives in you doesn't sleep. Peace be upon you. He doesn't sleep. Why is it we struggle with fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we avoid even having conversations with the Holy Spirit? He wants to have this. It would be like going to work every day. And Cole, since you're sitting in that chair, you're going to get picked on. Every day, I have a car. Cole doesn't. I mean, you're a Gen Zer. Are you a Gen Zer? So you can't afford a car, right? You need a Gen Xer like myself to haul you now to work because you get so expensive. Right? So I stop. We work at the same place. I stop. I pick up Cole. Cole gets in. Cole doesn't say good morning. He doesn't say hello. He just gets in the car. Maybe he's not a morning person, right? We go to work. He gets out. He doesn't say thank you. He doesn't offer to pay for the gas. Shocker. he's probably thinking his parents will pay for it. I'm kidding. That's funny. Come on. That's actually funny, right? Sorry to the Gen Zers, but I got three of them. He goes to work. We go back out to the car. He gets into the car. He doesn't say hello. He doesn't say thank you. He doesn't talk to me. Doesn't tell me. How long do you think I'm going to want to keep taking him to work? Because we're not fellowshipping. Can I tell you, everybody in here has the potential of being incredible miracle workers. But you first have to start with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You have to recognize that the same power that not only raised Jesus from the dead was the same power Peter used to raise people from the dead. That was the same power Reinhard Bonnke used to raise people from the dead, which is the same power that a John G. Lake saw many people. It's the same power is in you. And when you get to heaven and you recognize it, you'll be like, oh, are you kidding me? I thought you needed to take a class and get a degree at North Central to pray for people to be healed. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 says it. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's like a word today. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know? Who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Let the Holy Spirit. How do you honor the God? Well, you go to the gym and work out. No. Well, you don't drink and smoke. No. You honor God with your body by giving permission to the Holy Spirit to use your body to do the works of the Spirit in people's lives. You set aside your pride, you set aside your control, and you say, you, go ahead, you can use the body today. Lord, let me use it on the golf course and help me a little. And I'll give you permission all day Sunday. What can happen in Pentecostal circles is that we talk so much of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we miss the first part of our walk with the Holy Spirit, which is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what has happened is the American church has become lame. And I'm not like hashtag lame. That's not what I mean. I mean, they become lame. They don't walk. And that's what's happening, is the church has stopped walking. And we think that that makes us more rational or more acceptable to the world. But the world doesn't need to see someone who's a more moral version of the world. What they want to see is a people who are different than they are. People who operate differently than they do. If we believed Jesus is in this room, how many seats would be empty in our churches? And yet the Holy Spirit's there every week. So a man has legs. And if you remember the story in the Bible, of silver and gold. It's one of the stories my mom used to say. How many of you know there's stories we memorize them through singing songs, right? And I did JBQ, and my mom would sing songs to us when we were kids. There were five of us. By the way, we were required to take JBQ. It was right there at homework. We did our JBQ before we did our homework. Because my parents, for some reason, thought the Bible was more important than math. How many wish they had taught the Bible before history at home? Amen? Anyway, that's way off the point. Right? So I got to remember what I was going to say. The Peter and John come up, and we were on the southern steps of Jerusalem. You come up, and you can stand there today. And at, I think it was 3 in the afternoon, they come up, and they said, silver, this guy gives you any money, and they go, silver and gold, we don't have. We don't have an answer to your temporary solution, so let's give you a permanent solution, right? Did the man have legs? What couldn't he do? That's the church. We got the legs. We're just not walking. We have the Holy Spirit. But we're not walking. So if I had somebody up here both people with legs, one person on the ground, one person standing. In fact, can I do that? Where can I get to very quickly? Cole, you got to be one of them. Come on up here. Yeah, come on up here. Come stand up here on the stage. Cole, since you're younger, I'm assuming you're older. You look more wise. Yes, yeah, they look more. Why don't you go down on your knees, on your hands, Cole, and you stay on your feet. Okay, go ahead, stay on your feet, Scott. Stay. No, that was it. I was just kidding. Come over here, Cole, face that way. Scott, face that way, but that way more, okay? No, Cole, on your arms, on your hands, yeah. Lay on your belly if you can. Somebody paid me $10 to get you to lay on your belly today, and I just meant, no, you didn't think. I'm kidding. Okay, Cole. Yeah. Now, if I told you, and this isn't true, but if I told you I'm going to give whoever wins $100 to whoever can get to that side first, but here's the catch. You have to carry the mic stand to the other side. You have to carry the mic stand to the other side, okay? Scott, can you do this? You think you can beat him? Cole, you can only use your arms to move your body, and you got to move this. Ready? On the count of three. Scott, go ahead, grab it. One, two, three. Go ahead. Scott, don't play with him, man. That's just mean. That's mean. Okay. This is the picture of what God wanted the church to be. That is the picture of the church without the Holy Spirit. Why is it so hard to do ministry? Because you're trying to use the things that carry the gifts to move. You are given legs to walk. I got what? Left? Wow, I got 5 minutes left. No, I'll be done on time. I just can't believe that there's no clock telling me I'm almost done. I got 5 minutes. So I'm going to say, so how many know, or how many are getting this, right? You got, if you're struggling in ministry, it's because you're trying, thanks guys, you can come off. Can you give them a hand? So we're struggling to do the work of ministry with things that we were going to carry, and the Holy Spirit was going to walk us, carry there, and we use our hands to work the ministry with. Ministry was never intended to be hard, right? So I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to end, because all I got is 10 minutes. No, I got 5 minutes. Okay, so my wife and I had an opportunity to meet and spend a day with Reinhard Bonnke. How many know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Okay, he's an extraordinary missionary. It's a funny story how we ended up down there. I had a friend that knew him quite well, and he wanted, we ended up going to Florida. And we get down there, and for one day, I sat this close to him just listening to him just tell stories and just pour into us just truth and things he had learned. And at the end, he goes, "How can I pray for you?" And I had told our congregation before I went down there, I said, I want all of you to pray one thing for me. Pray that I don't ask any dumb questions. Because I know I could, right? And then you just kick yours. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is when their prayers better be working. Like, and he goes, how would you like me to pray? And I said, you know what? Pastor Reinhardt, I would love for you to pray that I would begin to see the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life in a way greater than I've ever experienced. How many think that's a good, that's good, right? Nope. Nope. Because he goes, this is what he says, and if I can find it here quick, I'll bring this up. This is what he said to me. I don't know if I'm going to find the exact words here, but I'm going to try to get it right away. I want to give you, here's essentially what he said. He said, the problem with the church isn't that they need more of the gifts. The problem is they need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of James. What we're doing in our churches, and we tend to, is we preach, you need to stop lying. I ain't gonna stop lying. Just because you said to stop lying? Because this isn't a gospel of humanism.
Right. Come on.
The power to transform a life isn't your ability to transform your own life. The power of transformed life comes from the Holy Spirit. If you walk with the Spirit, you will overcome the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
I got to fix my marriage. No, actually, you need to start walking with the Spirit, and He'll fix your marriage. Why? Because He's going to fix you. You walk in the Spirit. The problem is we're seeking the gifts and we're not talking to the Holy Spirit. We need to begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, have conversations with the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to do that, your whole life changes. Everything changes when it comes to that. Because what has happened, I'm going to try to find this. Who's the Christian who possesses the Holy Spirit but doesn't walk in the Holy Spirit? They are a person that carries the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit doesn't carry them. They have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have them. They beg for secondary things rather than declare from knowing who they are. They struggle in their Christian walk rather than thrive through life. They live their life crawling in the flesh rather than soaring in the Spirit. That's because we're convinced every single situation where an affair has happened in a marriage, the first thing I tell them is, I'm going to give you a lot of knowledge and none of it will work if you don't pursue the Holy Spirit. Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil has no power to set you free. The tree of life is what. So if there are people, you're struggling with it, rather than feel condemned about lying or cheating or all of the porn, all of the stuff, that's a big one. Like they're condemned. They feel condemned about porn and they keep trying hard not to watch porn. Well, guess what? You're going to keep watching it. Why? Because you're trying not to. The answer is never try harder. The answer is always go to the Holy Spirit. Find the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit. And then He transforms your... How many are just love grace? Listen, this whole thing has very little to do with behavior. It has everything to do with the discovering your identity. Everything. I so badly want to say something. Why is it we worship the blessing? Because we don't know who we are. The blessing was intended to worship us. But when you walk in the Holy Spirit, you begin to know who you are. And this will really mess you up. Essentially, Jesus said, and I'll end on this, you're me. Oh, I'm not Jesus. Actually, His plan was that you would kind of be like Him on earth. Well, I'm not perfect. You don't believe in grace? Because if you ain't perfect, you ain't going to heaven. Do you know who you are? If you know who you are and you link that with the Holy Spirit, there ain't anything going to stop you, and you're going to begin walking like Christ on earth in 2026. How many want that to happen right now? Right? Will you stand? Will you stand? Can I have you stand? There's so much more I would have loved to have said. I was even going to tell you about gifts and all that, but they have a shorter clock here. Cedar Valley, apparently. Talked to Pastor Neil about their clocks. Father, thank you. Thank you. Right now, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, will you just lift your hands up? And the baptism in the Holy Spirit isn't all about speaking in tongues, but tongues is an initial evidence of it. But you want to experience it right now. Just raise your hands up. And no one cares. You know, when you're in your 20s, you're worried about what everyone's thinking. In your 40s, you don't care what people are thinking. In your 60s, you realize no one's thinking about you. Nobody could care. No one in here could care less about whether you're raising your hands or not. But if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just raise your hands. You don't have that right now. Nobody needs to lay hands on you right now. Nobody needs to do that. The Holy Spirit can come and rest on you right now if you want it. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, if you're someone who already has a prayer language, a heavenly language, will you begin praying in it right now? Just begin praying in it, lifting your voice up and begin praying in it. Don't be embarrassed by it. It is the gift from God for you to begin praying in the Spirit. Hula basatara lili kiri amboko sondoya masaya bashanteya. Lord, right now I pray those who have their hands up right now are saying, Lord, I am here because I want to experience the Holy Spirit, the baptism of that Spirit. Father, right now I pray that you would come and begin to fulfill them. Lord, that they would recognize that it is the divine that is coming to live inside of them. It is the same Spirit that abided in you, and our expectation is that same Spirit that did your work in him will do the same work through us, but in greater measure. Lord, I pray right now that you begin to anoint every person with eyes to see and ears to hear, that their heart might perceive and they would be healed from the lies of this planet. Yeah. Lord God, they would begin to see their identity. They'd begin to see the power that you have for them and the plans you have for them. Right now, there are people in your life. I just feel like there are a couple of people in this room, and there are people the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that he wants you to pray for healing. And he's literally showing you these people's faces right now. And one of them is like a doctor's office. It's like the reception area of a doctor's office is the vision I'm seeing. And literally in this doctor's office, there's a woman that's sick, and you've wanted to do it, but you haven't. And the Holy Spirit has been literally saying, when are you going to let me use your body for a moment so I can go over and minister to this woman? And you've been deceived to think that it's you doing the work, but it's just basically you submitting and letting him use your voice and literally declare life over him, over them right now. And he's calling you to that right so badly that he wants to heal this person that he's interrupting this whole thing to just put that on your heart. Lord, I pray that you would begin to cause the prophetic to flow up from deep within us. Lord, can I have you do something one second? We started at 4:30, right? I still got 11 minutes. 45. Look at this. I was scared to death to do it, but the Holy Spirit put this on my heart. I did a Kairos retreat. We call it Kairos retreat for young adults, 200 young adults in California. And some of these guys weren't even saved when they came. They get saved in this retreat, and then I'm doing the Spirit thing, and I said, and our identity thing, and I said, I'm going to have you prophesy. Like, some people want to go to the bathroom pretty bad. Literally, I said, I want you to write down what you think God is telling you about your identity. And so they sat down and they wrote out they just wrote down what they felt God was telling them. And I said, the problem is the devil's going to try to convince you, you just made it up. So what we're going to do to prove it is the person sitting next to you is going to get up and prophesy to you what you wrote down. And I'm thinking, I'm crazy. Until they all did it. And I'm not kidding. It was freaking out people because they couldn't believe it. Do you know Paul says, I would rather that you prophesy? Do you know the reason the church isn't healthy as it could be is because we're not? You said, well, you know, like, I'm not going to be one of those crazy people. I have never met anyone who's prophesied into someone else's life and they thought you were crazy. They may hug you a lot because you just spoke a word of life, But prophecy is allowing the Holy Spirit to declare truth about someone that they need to hear. Don't you want to do that? How many say that shouldn't be crazy?
Yes.
Right? Who's convinced you that that's crazy? Prophecy is not telling me, the Lord is cometh to striketh you through downeth. That is not prophecy. Prophecy is literally the Holy Spirit speaking through you to bring life to someone who needs to hear the voice. And you know when you know it's God? It brings life. Because when God speaks, things are created. Isn't that cool? So right now, turn to one person next to you. You hate that. I hate it when people do this. I hate it. But find one person real quick. One person that's not your spouse. Not your spouse. Just one person. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. Just grab one other person real quick. I only got 3 minutes. Real quick. Just go right up to them. You can move right over there. Yeah, right up to them. Yeah. Turn and look at each other. Turn and look at each other. Turn and look at each other so that I know how many. This is good. This is going to be so good. It really is. I promise you, somebody's going to get blessed today. Because you're going to have a word. This is more than an exercise. I was actually teaching some of the workers on how you go. And then I end up prophesying to this guy just showing him how. And then being a word, he's like, how'd you know that? I didn't. I was just trying to pretend. I'm telling you the truth. I was pretending it. And it ended up, okay, ready? So just pretend it. You ready? We're going to pray. The Holy Spirit needs to make me do this. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to make you do this. You need to be willing for him to do it. He will not move on you if you're not willing. Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to make you just speak in tongues. Right? We're going to pray. We're going to just pray in the Spirit for all those. You're going to pray in the Spirit. The Lord is going to put something in your mind. It may even seem crazy. Okay? And then when you're done praying, you're going to tell them what was in your mind. That's it. And if they laugh at you, just tell them someone else's name, that you're someone else. Sorry, Glenn. Shouldn't have written it down. Ready? Are you ready? How many want God to do this? All right? Okay, let's pray in the Spirit. We're going to do it for 1 minute. And then, I'm going to have you just share whatever it is, the Holy Spirit. Everybody has someone? Everyone has someone? Okay. And you need somebody? Right here. Right there. You two of you right there. Ready? Here we go. Hula basata yamo kole basia. Hula metere diambo kosoto yamasaya. Shontoere diambo kole. If you have the prayer language, just lift up your voice. We're Pentecostals, remember. Hula basiti yamo kole basaya. Boshontere diambo kosatare di kia. Suto yamasiti diambo kole bataya moshontea. Siti yamo kota yamasiti diambo kole betere diambo kosonto yamasia. Hula betere diambo kosoto yambakaya boshontea. Hula metere diambo kosontea mokusuto yamasaya. Hula matare di kiri diambo kosontea mosoto rele kiri diambo kotoya masaya. Hula mataya. Okay. Okay, now, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit, one of you go first. Just one of you go first. Whatever it was that dropped into your mind, just tell them what it was. And even if it's a word, another word will follow. And it often just grows into something. But begin just sharing what it is. If there's nothing there, do not worry. Do not worry. If nothing was there, don't worry. I'm going to have you look up and then I'll let you go. How many heard, got a word, and that was a word that you needed to hear? Just wave at us. That was a word you needed to hear. Okay. So I found the statement that Reinhardt said, and I want to share with you, and then I'm going to let you go. Sound good? Here's what he said. You seek and beg for what he does rather than fellowship with who he is. Knowledge only makes beggars. Relationship imparts identity. Listen to this. People who pray for the Holy Spirit's presence to come or to move are people who have no relationship with the Holy Spirit to recognize he's been there the whole time. He's there the whole time. And you're the one who brought him in. It's an incredible thing. Just imagine if 150 could leave the upper room and go into the world and change the world, how many? It's like we may have 150 in this room. Imagine what we can do. There's what? 210. Okay, so we got 60 more. So we need about like 60 people to leave right now. Okay. Okay. God bless you.